you on several different scenarios, all involved with one basic detail in terms of Kibra Avraham. And that's the most, in a sense, the most sensitive, most complicated aspect of Kibra Avraham. And Kibra Avraham comes into conflict with other mitzvahs HaTorah. And this can become very, very touchy, as I'm sure many of you may have personally experienced it. Many of you, if you haven't personally experienced it yet, maybe Zohar to personally experience it, either as children or maybe someday as parents, or whatever aggravation you cause your parents as kids, just know it's all going to come back to you, Kefal Nal Vehe, in years to come. I've learned that already the hard way. So keep up the good work. Anyway, so let's try to analyze what does the halacha have to tell us when you have different kinds of scenarios that come up, where on the one hand, I want to do a certain mitzvah, I want to learn a certain yeshiva, I want to go move to Eretz Yisrael, I want to marry a certain person. This is not Rabbi Kamenetsky's shiur, that's the other shiur. I want to marry a certain person, I want to get a certain job, I want to have certain life plans that I have. And my parents are, quote-unquote, standing in the way. My parents say, I don't want you to learn in Eretz Yisrael, I want you to stay in America. I don't want you to learn in yeshiva right now, I want you to do other things. I don't want you to live in Eretz Yisrael, I want you to live near me. I don't want you to marry this girl, I want you to marry the other girl. So what do you do? How does Kibbutz Avim fit into the whole, into all these different life decisions that come up? So let's try to analyze through the sugya. So the sugya begins in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Vav, the Gemara comments that if you have a conflict, an outright conflict between a parent telling you to do something and the Torah saying not to do that activity, then there's no question that one does not listen to one's parents. One is not allowed to listen to one's parents. So the example that the Gemara gives us is Chil Shabbos, the prototype of Yisurim. A parent tells a child, listen, I want you to prepare me a steak right now, go cook me this meat on Shabbos. So the answer is, I'm not allowed to listen. It's Evo V'Aviv Tirov V'Yashav Sel Sek Tishmoru Ani Hashem. The Gemara comments, Ani Hashem Kulchem Chayav Mechvodi, that the cover that's due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu overrides the cover that's due to a parent. So when it's an outright conflict, parent says B'chal Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says don't be B'chal Shabbos, there's nothing to talk about. We could tone this example down a little bit. What if a parent is not telling me to violate an Isser? What if a parent is telling me not to perform a mitzvah? So a parent comes and says, listen, I can't stand you putting on tefillin. It bothers me to see you putting on tefillin. It bothers me to see you eating matzah. I need you to help me. Don't go to Shul Rosh Hashanah. Don't hear shofar today. So what do? You have a conflict between going to do a mitzvah, not to an aveir, but not, you have a conflict in doing a mitzvah, and a parent demanding not to do the mitzvah. So here also, the Rishonim tell us that kulchem chem bichvodi, the same svar that the Gemara has, that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, even to fulfill Kibbutz Avraham. So you're not allowed to be mevatel a mitzvah in order to fulfill Kibbutz Avraham, because kulchem chem bichvodi, the parents are also obligated in kavod shemayim. So far, so good. So Isurim, parents have no day in. Bittel mitzvahs, parents civilly have no day in. What if a parent is telling me to violate an issur derabbanan, and a parent comes to me and says, listen, you got to move muktzah. I just need this muktzah right now. You got to move muktzah for me on Shabbos. So the answer is absolutely not. Even though it's only an issur derabbanan that they're telling me to violate still, since the halacha requires of us to observe issurim derabbanan, so a parent has no right to tell me to violate an issur derabbanan, and similarly, a parent has no right to tell me to be mevatel a mitzvah derabbanan. Let's say, I want to go hear the Megillah, and a parent says, no, it's aggravating me for you to go hear the Megillah. I don't want you to hear the Megillah. I'm not mechuyev to listen to them. I'm not supposed to listen to them. Kulchem chayav bichvodi. So either isurim derayis, isurim derabbanan, mitzvah derayis, mitzvah derabbanan, anything that the halacha absolutely requires, if it comes into conflict with the parent's wishes, so the halacha is the parent has no day, the parent has no shalita, the parent has no authority in this realm of halacha. However, it gets a little bit shaky, a little bit grayer areas when we touch upon the following kind of a shaila. What if a parent is not saying to me, do an aveira? The parent's not saying to me, don't do a mitzvah. The parent's telling me not to do a certain kind of a minig, a certain type of midas chasidus, a certain type of a chumrah. So we'll just throw out a few examples, just the arbitrary examples. Kid comes back from yeshiva, he decides he wants to wear a black hat. He decides, halacha moshe mesina, he's got to wear a black hat. So the parent comes and says to him, I don't want you to wear a black hat. I live in, I daven in Tinek, my chevro, they wear black hats. So I'm gonna look funny. Everyone's gonna say my kid flipped out. I don't like that. I don't want to wear a black hat. So what's the din? So what you say as follows: Kulchem chem bichvodi. The Rabban Shalom says you have to wear a black hat, and the parent says you're not allowed to wear a black hat. So you have to listen to Rabban Shalom. So the answer is that's ridiculous, because the Rabban Shalom never said you have to wear a black hat. The Rabban Shalom never said you had to wear a green hat. The Rabban Shalom never talked about hats. So since that's not a mitzvah, whether it's a hiddur or not a hiddur, whether it's a bittis chasidus, not a bittis chasidus, whether you should wear or shouldn't wear, so maybe another shiur we'll have about that. But lamais, everyone agreed it's not a chayk v'layavar. So therefore, the parent does, in a certain sense, have a right to express an opinion. Now again, I'm not advocating that the parent express an opinion in this manner. I'm not saying it's smart from the parent's vantage point to express an opinion in this matter. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, depending on case-by-case scenario. But you'd see that the parent is expressing an opinion, and the parent really is ticked off that the child is doing this midas chasidus, so to speak. So then the child should, in fact, back out. The child should should say, okay, I'll fulfill Kibra Avim, I get married, whatever, a different story. Well, let's say, for example, the kid comes back from Shiva, he decides he wants to have payas. So the parents say, listen, we came from that part of Europe, we came from Lithuania, they never had that. Nobody had payas, except for the Rashiva, nobody had payas. So the parent feels very upset about it. The kid is very gung-ho, he decided he just became Hasidish, just became Temani, just decided he's going to grow in payas. So here also, if it's not an absolute chiyuv, the parent's not telling the child to shave with a razor, the parent's telling the child to cut his payas, which in a way that would be permissible api halacha. So maybe it is a midas chasidus, maybe it is a hiddur, maybe it is a chumra, whatever it is, but it's not an absolute din, so it's not an absolute din, the parent would have a certain degree of authority. Again, should the parent make a stick out of it, should make a fuss out of it? So that's a good question, and that would probably need a lot of work on an individual case-by-case basis. But in terms of pure halacha, from the vantage point of the child, since the parent is not telling the child to violate an aveira, therefore the parent does, in a certain sense, have a right to speak up. What about in other areas of halacha? So let's say, for example, a very common example is in the realm of Talmud Torah. A parent expresses a wish that they don't want the child to be learning. It doesn't mean the parent doesn't want the child not to learn at all. The parent would like the child to be learning less hours, or the parent would like the child to be learning perhaps in a less intense environment. The child insists and wants to learn somewhere else. So what is that halacha? So the Gemara tells us in the first parak of Maseches Kiddushin that this shaila goes all the way back to the days of Yaakov Avinu. If Yaakov Avinu had this conflict, on the one hand, he was supposed to take care of his father Yitzchak, on the other hand, he spent 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Hever. So even though he spent many, many other years in Beis Lavan, he was in fact punished for those years because he wasn't fulfilling Kibra Avayim, Mida Kenegan Mida. He actually suffered that Yosef disappeared for 22 years. But the 14 years that he learned in Yeshiva Shem Hever, now I'm not saying that necessarily slept in that little cave that we saw in Tzvat. Was that the beginning of the summer? It seems like many, many years ago. But whatever it was, so wherever the Yeshiva Shem Hever, I always thought Yeshiva Shem Hever was in Be'er Sheva. No, isn't that where... Didn't the Chazal say that? No? Yes, I don't know how that became Tzvah. I got lost in the shuffle there. But whatever. Someone took the wrong bus. But whatever it is, when Yaakov Avinu spent those 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Eber, so he wasn't punished for those years. So the Gemara says, we learn out from here, Din L'Dairus. We learn out from here that Talmud Torah is more important than Kibbut Ava'im. So the Rishonim add on that not only is Talmud Torah more important than Kibbut Ava'im, in the sense of if a parent tells you not to learn at all, but let's say the child wants to learn a particular Rebbe, the child wants to learn a particular yeshiva, the child wants to learn a particular atmosphere, and the parent says, no, I want you to learn yeshiva ploni, it's close at the home, I'll be more comfortable for you to learn across the street. The child says, no, I won't learn so well across the street, I have to go learn to yeshiva X, Y, and Z, and 6,000 miles away. So come the Rishonim and say, that's also including the din of Talmud Torah, is docha kibbut avayim, because ein adam lomed ein adam makom shliba chafetz, that a person learns in a place where he wants to learn, where he feels more comfortable learning. So here the poskim are quick to point out that very often you have conflicts between parents and children in terms of what yeshiva to learn in, and the child sometimes misuses the Shulchan Aruch. The child comes to the parent with the Shulchan Aruch wide open and the dotted line that says, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a child has a right to go learn in yeshiva such and such, even at the expense against the parent's wishes. So the Chora, that only makes sense if the child really has a tain, if the child really claims and has a justifiable claim that he's going to learn better in the other place. What if the child wants to go learn in the other yeshiva, not because the learning is any better, but because they have a better basketball team, or because they have better food, or because they have a better dormitory or something, and that in and of itself is not going to impact upon his learning, maybe it will, maybe it won't, but let's say it's not going to impact upon his learning. So then it's no longer a conflict of Talmud Torah, then it's a conflict of a parent wants you to do Kibra Avayim and I want to go play basketball, so that talk I don't have a right to do. Basketball is very important, but it's not as important as one of the Aseret HaDibros. I don't want to say that in playoff time, maybe, or maybe it's close to the Aseret, maybe if the Aseret HaDibros. But L'chora, if the child really has a realistic desire to learn Yeshiva Plonis, and he really feels that that's going to enhance his learning, it's going to enhance his Ruchnias, so that's when this Halacha Shulchan Aruch kicks in. Right, so that's a question. Who's going to make this decision? It becomes a very, very tough situation. It means, why does the Talmud want to go to this yeshiva? Because he feels there's a better Rebbe there, feels it's more his Derech HaLimud. Here the kid's all of 14 years old, and he already has developed a Derech HaLimud. He already knows what is a Derech HaLimud, what's not a Derech HaLimud. So he already knows what's better for him, so it's very hard to know that sometimes. So very often in these kinds of cases, you have to have a kind of a third party. Everyone's a little bit no give it over. The parents think one way, the child thinks something else. Sometimes you need like a third person to objectively analyze, assess the situation, whether this is really ultimately going to be productive. Sometimes we know people run to yeshivas for other things which have nothing to do with the learning itself. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the fourth barak, that after Rabbi Gamliel was asked to leave, being the Nasi, so they brought Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah change the admission policy. So in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, only the best Talmidim were let in. Only those Talmidim were really sincere in their learning. Torah Kevaro. In the days of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, everybody Talmud was able to get in. So the admissions went up, the attendance went up. So the Gemara says they added on that day either 400 or 700 benches to the Beis Medrash. That's the lashon of the Gemara. The chalukah is either 400 or 700. So the Bali Musar asks a strange question. Why does the Gemara say they added on 400 benches? Why does the Gemara say they had 400 more Talmidim? So the Bali Musar explained, because those new Talmidim who came, they were the ones who were interested in the benches. They only came to the yeshiva because they were comfortable chairs, they were swivel chairs, they liked the dormitories, better air conditioning, better food. Those are the things they were interested in the gashmis, because they were not the good Talmidim. They were the not Torah Kevaro Chevra. So that's why the Gemara was highlighting, was making shtach to those 400 new Talmidim and saying, you guys came for the new benches. But the real Talmidim would have came even in the broken down chairs. They would have came for the Torah part. So again, one has to always be careful when you're looking for a yeshiva to know what are you emphasizing, what are you not emphasizing. So if a person wants to invoke this halacha Shulchan Aruch, you have to be really sure that his motive is genuine, that he really thinks that going to this new place is going to in fact enhance his learnings. I'll call upon it, but the din is in theory on the books, the Talmud Torah is Derech HaKibud Avayim. Pesach Tshuva quotes the Tshuva Saradvaz that points out that this is not always true, the Talmud Torah is Derech HaKibud Avayim. This means when you have a grandiose scale, let's say you have a Talmud wants to know, do I have to stay home and take care of my parents for the next year and learn very, very shvach, learn in a yeshiva that I don't like? Or do I have a right to go 6,000 miles away and learn a much, much better atmosphere? So then the halacha says that Talmud Torah is better than Kibud Avayim. But what about the following? The guy's in the middle of learning night seder. It's a one-night thing. It's a one-shot deal. Parent calls him up and says, listen, I'm so sorry to bother you, but we need your help right now. We have to move something in the house, and we need your help. Please come home for a half hour. So comes the Pesach Tshuva and says that the Talmud has no right, the son has no right to say, sorry, Dad, Talmud Torah is more important than Kibud Avayim, I don't have to come. No, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says, when you have this very tremendous, tremendous impact on your learning, it's going to be a whole year thing, it's going to be a whole Zman, it's going to be a whole 10 years of learning, so then you have to weigh, you have to assess, like the 14 years of Yaakov Avinu, you have to weigh against Kibud Avayim. The parents calling you to do you a favor for 5 minutes, so you're not allowed to say, I'm sorry, I'm learning Torah, finished. Then we apply the regular rules of mitzvahs. If a person is doing in the middle of learning and a mitzvah comes his way, so what does he do? So it depends. If it's a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else, then he should continue learning and have somebody else do the mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, he's the only one available to do it, so then he should close his gemara, go do the mitzvah, and then come back to his gemara later. So that's what the klal here is also, that we're not talking about a long-term type of bittul Torah. We're talking about a very, very short term. So short term, your parent calls you for a favor. Close your gemara, go home, take care of it, and shine. So the problem is sometimes it becomes a little bit tricky, because where do you draw the line between short term and long term? So the parent who really respects the child's learning and only calls him once every year, 6 months to help move or something, that's one thing. But what about the parent who calls every night? Sunday night you have to go to a bas mitzvah of your 16th cousin, and Monday night you have to go to a graduation of your boss's friend, and Tuesday night you have to go to a chasana, and Wednesday night you have to go here. Every night's another story. Every night's another night seder. So at what point do you say that this is ridiculous, this is already long-term Talmud Torah, and this is already takes precedence over Kibud Avayim? So that's also a very tricky question. So that's also somewhat case-by-case basis. We would hope that the parent would be respectful of the child's need to learn properly, and the child would be respectful of the parents. Sometimes the parent does have the once-in-a-while type of a need. So again, when it comes into a once-in-a-while kind of a situation, so one should stop one's learning and go ahead and take care of whatever has to be done. One has to be careful from a parent's vantage point not to take advantage of the child who's learning. Sometimes there's a mistaken notion in the world. People think, well, the guy's only learning anyway, so I can bother him. So I remember the Mashkiach in Kerviyad, the Rivlin, used to always say that, that's what Chazal mean when they say, that means the person's only learning Torah, so people view him as being free. He doesn't have a job anyway, so I can always ask him. So somehow, if I have a job from 9 to 5, so then nobody calls me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to come and drive him to the airport. They understand that I have a job. I can't just pick up, leave the office and drive him to the airport. Take him to the airport. But if I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash, I'm sitting and learning, so they figure I'm not doing anything anyway, so I might as well go, let's bother the guy that'll take me to the airport. So again, everyone has to be careful. Everyone should be respectful of each other's of important needs. So again, so we have the basic guidelines in terms of Kibud Avayim when it comes in direct conflict with an Isser or a Mitzvah Torah. We have the basic klolim when Kibud Avayim comes in a conflict with Talmud Torah. And I have a few other important scenarios that play out in terms of Kibud Avayim in conflict with Mitzvah. So this is a common scenario. This probably most of you have not yet reached this point in your life. But I guarantee you in the next 10 years or so, probably many of you will reach this point in your life. And that is when you have a conflict between the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim and living in Eretz Yisrael. Where does that play into the picture. Is the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael take precedence over Kibbutz Av Eim or vice versa? So obviously, if Efshel Lekayem Shneim, if everybody's happy, if your parents are happy that you moved to Eretz Yisrael, so they come and visit you every 2 weeks, and you go home every other week, and a lot of freaking flying balls going on, okay, I'm sure in my time. But in a situation where the parents are not happy with what's going on, they really opposed to going in Aliyah, what is Aloha? Is it still appropriate to go in Aliyah, or is it considered to be inappropriate? So this Shaila goes all the way back. This Shaila goes back to the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was faced with this dilemma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Levcha me'aretzcha b'lamcha me'savicha. And he had to leave Terach behind. And in fact, Rashi says in the end of Parshas Noach, V'yamas Terach b'charan, and Terach didn't die at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Terach didn't die until many, many years later, and Avraham left him alive. And the Torah covered up for him a little bit. The Torah didn't want to present it in such a way that Terach had already died. But if you do the math, you'll see that Terach was still alive. So you see that Avraham Avinu was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though it meant leaving behind his old father, not taking care of Terach. So what do we derive from this story? So you have a machlokas in the poskim from one extreme to another. So some poskim said, you see from here that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is more important than Kibbutz Av Eim. Another poskim said, you see from here absolutely nothing. You see from here the exact opposite. That it was only because Avraham Avinu had a special tzivui. If the Rebbe Shalom comes to you in the middle of the night and says, Vayamra Hashem el Avram, Levcha me'aretzcha, he tells you, go to Eretz Yisrael. So then you pack your bags and leave your parents and do whatever. But the fact that we have a mitzvah to go live in Eretz Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you specifically, you personally have to go live in Eretz Yisrael. So how do you know? Maybe living in Eretz Yisrael is not as important as Kibbutz Av Eim. So again, it's hard to tell from the story of Avraham Avinu. Are there any other ra'ayas? There's a famous story in the Gemara in the first Mechon Sefer Kedushin, tells a story about one of the Amoraim who was learning in Eretz Yisrael, and then he wanted to go to Bavel to go visit his mother. He went to his Rebbe, to Rebbe Yehuda, and he asked him Rishus to go. And Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't give him Rishus to go, and then he went anyway because he wasn't sure. It sounds from the Gemara that it was okay what he did, that he left to Eretz Yisrael. At the end of his story, it didn't have such a happy ending because his mother died on the way, and whatever, that's the detail of the story. But it sounds in the simple reading of the Gemara that it was okay to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to fulfill Kibbutz Av Eim. So here also the poskim are not convinced that this is true, because maybe in this story he was only going temporarily. We don't know that he was going to move out of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe he was just going for a couple of months to go visit his mother, then he was planning on coming back. So what would be the din if a person really has a conflict between living in Eretz Yisrael and Kibbutz Av Eim, which takes precedence? So the story of Avraham Avinu is not a raya. The story of the Gemara in Kedusha is not a raya. So what should the din be? So we have to try to figure it out on our own. So the Chora, the answer to this question is not so much a Kibbutz Av Eim issue as it is a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael issue. Is living in Eretz Yisrael an outright mitzvah? If it's an outright mitzvah, chiyuv gomor, like putting on tefillin, like checking a lulav, like blowing shofar, so then we apply the rule that we started off the shiur with, that Kibbutz Av Eim does not apply in contrast to a mitzvah. If you have a conflict between doing a mitzvah and Kibbutz Av Eim, so ani Hashem kulchem chiyuv b'chvodi, you have to do the mitzvah. Forget about the Kibbutz Av Eim. So l'chora, if you hold that living in Eretz Yisrael is a sa mitzvah, it's a mitzvah which is absolutely mutal achiyuv on each and every Jew, so then it's an open and shut case. Then of course the parent tells you not to live in Eretz Yisrael, tough, you don't listen to them. The same way, I mean, you don't say to them tough, but in a nice way you explain to them that I can't listen to you, the same way if you would tell me not to put on tefillin, I can't listen to you. So what's the din? Is living in Eretz Yisrael such a mitzvah or not? So there is a famous comment of the Ramban, where the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs counts the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tariq mitzvahs, basing himself on Pesukim in the end of Parshas Maasei, the Rashtim, also Yishavtim, but it's a mitzvah, mamish, to live in Eretz Yisrael. From the Ramban, you get the impression it's literally like one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Nevertheless, there is a big machlekes at Pelskim. How do we understand Pshat of this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? So those who are in my Chabur, we just spoke about this recently, about the difference between mitzvah chiyuvis and mitzvah kiyumis. That a mitzvah chiyuvis means a mitzvah that a person is obligated to do, and if you don't do it, you consider it to be mevatel the mitzvah. So for example, a matzah on the first night of Pesach. So matzah on the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah chiyuvis. You don't have a choice whether you have to eat matzah or not. Every single Jew, man and woman, has to eat matzah because it's matzah on Leil Pesach. After the first night of Pesach, then the Gra says it's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah. The more matzah you eat, the better. It's a great mitzvah. You get tzchar, you get brownie points in Shemayim for eating matzah. But if you don't eat matzah, if you eat potato chips the whole week, so that's fine. So you're not mevatel any mitzvah. So there's a difference in halacha between a mitzvah that you mechuyev to do, a mitzvah chiyuvis, and a mitzvah that if you don't do it, that's fine. But if you do do it, that's okay. That's called a mitzvah kiyumis. So there is such a concept. There is such a difference in halacha. I was telling you about the story last night that I gave a shiur last year about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So it was in a community that wasn't Tinek, we'll leave it that, wasn't the five towns. It was in another type of community that asked me to speak. So Dafka, something about they wanted me to speak about living in Eretz Yisrael. So some people thought that I'm going to come talk about living in Eretz Yisrael. They expected I'm going to get up and quote secular sources and speak about Zionism. So I just gave a shiur about the Ram, Machlokes the Ram and the Ramban and the Psoiter. And about the Rav Moshe and what's the pshat in the mitzvah of Yenetzol, mitzvah chiyuvus, it's chiyuvus. So the guys couldn't believe it. They said they didn't realize that there was so much to talk about in Torah about living in Eretz Yisrael. They thought it was just like a secular topic. I said, I don't know where you guys come from. I said, we just look in the Chumash. So that's a pretty good source. The Chumash itself talks about living in Eretz Yisrael. So then somebody else with that same shiur was hacking me and said that I made up the concept of mitzvah chiyuvus and mitzvah chiyuvus. It doesn't exist. And they never heard of it before. So I made it up. I said, the Rav Shlomo made it up. I said, of course it exists. Of course there's a concept of a mitzvah chiyuvus and a mitzvah chiyuvus. Just because they never heard of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So anyway, get back to the story. So what is the nature of the... You meet a lot of interesting people. Been there? Okay. So what's the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Again, assuming like the Ramban, if there's a mamash, one of the tag mitzvahs is to live in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the nature of this mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah like matzah on the first night of Pesach? Or is this a mitzvah like matzah the rest of Pesach? Would you say if a guy lives in Chutz Laretz, he's a mevatel, it's a mitzvah, he's like not hearing shofar, he's like not saying Kriya Shema, he's like not putting on tefillin, the guy's mamash, a mevatel, it's a mitzvah? But you say, no, it's not a good thing, we want people, everyone should live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's basically b'teras mitzvah kiyumis rather than a mitzvah kiyumis. It's like the guy who doesn't eat matzah, who drains a charum and doesn't eat matzah the whole week of Pesach, but he's not a mevatel, it's a mitzvah. So this is a machlekes apaskim. So Rabbi Feinstein assumes in a tshuva that the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah chiyuvus, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. And others disagreed with Rabbi Moshe. L'chora, that should be the issue in terms of the Kibbutz Av Eim story. A parent comes and says to you, I don't want you to eat matzah Pesach night. So what's the answer to the parent? Very respectfully, sorry, I cannot listen to you, I have to eat matzah Pesach night. The Torah said so. What if a parent says, listen, I don't want to eat matzah the third day Chol HaMoed? So can the child, does the child have a right to say sorry? The Gra said there's a mitzvah kiyumis to eat matzah. L'chora, a child does not have a right to do that. L'chora, when a parent tells you not to do a chiyuv, a mitzvah chiyuvis, so the parents tell you in effect to do an aveira, they tell you to do something that's also, that's wrong, so that you have no right to listen to them. If the parent's telling you not to do something extra above and beyond the call of duty, so to speak, a mitzvah kiyumis, so Kibbutz Av Eim is a mitzvah chiyuvis. So l'chora, the mitzvah chiyuvis of Kibbutz Av Eim is more important than the mitzvah chiyuvis of eating matzah on the third day Chol HaMoed. So if Eretz Yisrael, if Rav Moshe is right, the living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvis, so then if a parent comes to you and says, listen, it's going to aggravate me no end if you live in Eretz Yisrael, I need you over here, so then what right do I have to be from on somebody else's cheshbon? What right do I have to do my mitzvah chiyuvis at the expense of the mitzvah chiyuvis of Kibbutz Av Eim? But if you take the other approach, if you take the approach that living in Eretz Yisrael is mamash like putting on tefillin, like sharing shofar, it's like eating matzah Pesach night, and if you don't do it, that's called a bittul mitzvah. So then, in Ochinami, then Taka, the parent has no say, the parent has no legitimate say, and the child would have to do go on aliyah even against the wishes of the parent. That's Lafinius Daiti, what the issue revolves around. So it's not so much a Kibbutz Av Eim issue, it's more of an Eretz Yisrael issue. What's the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? So this was a machlekes, the Gedolei Poskim of our generation, Rav Moshe Paskin, that it was a mitzvah kiyumis, and l'chora, the corollary of that is that one does not do aliyah against parents' wishes, and Rav Adya Yosef and others Paskin, no, that's a mitzvah kiyumis, and therefore one would have to do it even against the parents' wishes. There is a tshuva in the Tzitz Eliezer when he was asked whether it's appropriate for a certain youth group to advocate strongly going on aliyah to groups of teenagers, knowing full well that there are going to be some parents who are going to be very, very upset about that. So do they have a right to do that or not? Do they have a right to put these teenagers into this conflict that they're going to, making them in a sense, have to, quote-unquote, feel they have to go on aliyah against their parents' wishes? So Tzitz Eliezer's response depends who's right in this machlokes. If Rav Moshe is right, if the halacha is that you don't do Kibbutz Av Eim against the parents' wishes, then the taka shouldn't tell them to do it. If Rav Avadi Yosef is right, then they should tell everybody to go on aliyah and forget what the parents are saying. So again, this is a very, very tricky, very, very tough tough issue with Isa. Someone had a question?
You mentioned when it comes to taking on an extra shita like the Gra, you said that should not be enough to stretch a Kibbutz Av Eim. What if you happen to be an actual Talmud, like a direct Talmud, and your Rebbe has that
I don't know, it's a tough question. You know, you have a Mesorah to do such and such, or your parents don't want you to do it. I don't know, you know, it's hard for us today to say, you know, we have such clear Mesorahs that we're real grunics, you know. Many people who say they follow Minhag Yagrah, I'm not saying all of them, but many people follow Minhag Yagrah, they follow when it's easy. It means when it comes to saying Mordatal or something, when it comes to not saying Brach Shem Yolam, everyone becomes a grunic. So when it comes to learning 22 hours a day with your feet in a tub of cold water, that's somehow everybody, nobody became a grunic for that. So I don't know, I'm not sure about that, Bismanazah, how much we really, really have those real authentic people follow every psach of their Rebbe.
Let's say your parents tell you not to wear a kippah, right?
Yeah, so the post can point out that there are certain minhagim that have become such universal, it's not absolutely universal in the meaning of wearing a kippah, but it's just about universal. So certain minhagim have become so accepted as part of standard procedure of Klal Yisrael that becomes elevated to the point that not a real halakha, but to the point where if a parent tells you not to do it, so they really don't have a right to tell you to do that. So I would say that a parent would not have a say in something like that. Even though you're right, in terms of pure halakha, it really is only a minhag.
What would you say in a case where Eretz Yisrael is
right, so then it goes back to the old story. So the Talmud Torah itself may be enough to push you over the edge. Maybe we'll just finish up. We'll take a few questions, some time questions at the end. Okay. There is one last conflict, which is also sometimes a conflict exists. And again, probably nobody has had it yet, but probably somebody will have it in the next couple of years. And that's the issue of parents are expressing their opinion about who a person is going to marry, or a person wants to marry Plonis, and the parents say not Plonis, but we want you to marry the other Plonis. So what's the halacha? Is a child required to listen to the parent or not? So there is a famous Chumash Maharik that the Ramban Uchas Kibbutz Rav Eim quotes, where the Maharik says that for a variety of reasons, a child is not obligated to listen to a parent in this area. Different reasons are suggested by the Maharik. One of them is based on what we said up until now, that's like tantamount to a parent telling a child not to do a mitzvah. The child wants to get married. There's a mitzvah to get married. There's a mitzvah to have children. A person's supposed to try to get married as soon as they can. They're supposed to try to have children as soon as they can. That's the first mitzvah in the Torah. There's a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu put the mitzvah Puruhu as the first mitzvah. If he meant it not to be important, if he meant it to take second fiddle to everything else in a person's plans in life, he would have put it number 317. He put it number one so everybody realizes, everyone who starts to learn Sefer Chinuch, even if they never make it to mitzvah Beis, they at least make it to mitzvah Aleph. So he wants everyone to realize that's the first mitzvah in the Torah. So if a child is told by the parent, don't marry this girl, so that's considered to be like telling you not to perform a mitzvah. So the Maharik asks, what do you mean? The parent's not telling me to remain a bocha forever. If the parent says, don't ever get married, I need you to stay at home forever, so that's tantamount to saying not to do a mitzvah. And that's not what the parent's saying. The parent's saying, I got a good shidduch for you. Just the boy doesn't want that girl. So the Maharik says, no, that's also like telling you to do an aveira, because the Gemara in Kiddushin says that if you marry somebody you don't like, so that's a bad thing, because not only is it a bad thing for many reasons, but you're going to end up hating the person, and that's going to be a bitl of a haftal recha kamocha. You're not going to have a good marriage, you're not going to have good children, everything's going to be a big balagan. So when a parent has no right to tell a child who to marry, because that's playing around in the realm of a mitzvah, the child wants to do the mitzvah of getting married and the mitzvah of having children in a normal way with a woman who he wants to marry, so the parent has no right in terms of interfering. That's the first svar that the Maharik gives. Then the Maharik gives other reasons, that perhaps the parent has no right to tell you who to marry or who not to marry, because Kibbutz Rav Eim is Mishal Av, that a parent is supposed to pay for Kibbutz Rav Eim. I'm mechuyev to serve my parents. The parent asks me to come and drive them somewhere, so 100% I'm mechuyev to take them. I'm mechuyev to take them all around, but they're mechuyev to pay the tolls. I mean, they're probably paying for the car anyway, so I'd probably be a nice guy, but put it on my easy pass. But whatever it is, the parent is mechuyev to lay out financially for the service of Kibbutz Rav Eim, unless the parent doesn't have any money. If the parent mamish is broke, then the child is mechuyev to pay for Kibbutz Rav Eim, so to be shown him right. But if the parent has the money, then the parent has to pay. Kibbutz Rav Eim is mishal av. So the Maharik says, if a child is not mechuyev to suffer financially to fulfill Kibbutz Rav Eim, kavachomer is not mechuyev to suffer psychologically. So here the Maharik was very in tune with the modern psychology. You tell a guy, he wants to marry this girl, and you tell him, no, it's no big deal, marry somebody else. So the guy's going to suffer, his whole life is going to be destroyed, he's going to be emotional, he's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life. He's going to be so upset about it, so that's psychological trauma. You're not mechuyev to suffer. You're mechuyev to do service for your parents. You're mechuyev to help your parents, mechuyev to listen to them, but not when it costs you either financially or such a serious degree psychologically. Then the Maharik has a third mahalach, why he doesn't think you're mechuyev to listen to your parents, is because the mitzvah of Kibbutz Rav Eim is primarily when the service is geared towards the parent. When the parent is asking you to drive them to the airport or cook the food for them, the parent is asking you to do things that don't affect the parent. Let's say, for example, my parent tells me, you have to go to medical school. That's it. I b'shum panim v'opin, I wouldn't let you do anything. You have to go to medical school. But the child's mechuyev to go to medical school? Absolutely not, says the Maharik. You're not mechuyev to do that. That's not a service to the parent. The parent's trying to superimpose his values on your life decisions. You're allowed to make your own life decisions. So when a parent tells you to do something which is not relevant for the parents, relevant for you, that there's no mitzvah keep it out of aim. The poskim qualify this to say, for a machnam, instead of his condition, qualifies this by saying that if the parent makes a reasonable request, then I should do it, even if it doesn't affect the parent, because that's the mitzvah of Mora. The Gemara says that lo yister is devar, I'm not supposed to contradict my parent. So my parent expresses an opinion about something, my parent calls me up, my mother calls me up and says, listen, it's cold outside, please do me a favor, wear a sweater. So the halacha of Mora Ava'im requires me to wear the sweater, because that's otherwise it's sosir is devar, the Sefer Matna says. What if, let's say, my parent calls me up, I'm in a lot, and the parent calls me up, it's 99 degrees outside, and the parent says, you know, I'm very nervous that you're getting to a cold, please wear a sweater. So that's an unreasonable request. So the Pesukim came right, an unreasonable request is not Myra. The reason why I'm not listening to him is because it's a crazy request. But if the reason why I'm not listening to them is because, stam, I'm not interested, I don't give chashivas to my parents, tzivoy, but what they're saying is not off the wall, so that's tacha bizoy, that's a lack of proper Mora. So here, when the parent tells the child not to marry somebody, that's an unreasonable request. Every person has the right to marry if they want to marry. So that's considered to be an unreasonable request. But mainly, there's no mitzvah kibra, there's no mitzvah mora. One should be very, very careful before passing these kinds of shailas, because one has to realize that even if the halacha is that, in theory, you don't have to listen to your parents in these areas, it doesn't mean that it's a smart idea not to listen to your parents. It doesn't mean that your parents don't know what's best for you. Sometimes they do, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes, even if they don't necessarily, even if the parent is not making the right decision, it may still be the smart thing to listen to them in these areas. Again, each case is case-by-case basis. So nobody should walk away from anything that we're saying here and say, ah, Rabbi Salofsky said, okay, that's it. I can call my parents and say, I'm not coming off from Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to learn for the next 20 years. I'm getting married at the age of 15. The rabbi said, I'm going to get married young. And Sean, I'm never going to listen to you for the rest of my life. I'm growing pears and a beard, and I'm going to live in Meir Shar. So you have to be careful with those kinds of conclusions. So one has to always be very, very careful and very, very sensitive in these areas. So we're dealing with Aseres HaDibros. So very often, the parent does have a right to express their opinion. You have to take it into consideration. Even in a situation where the parent doesn't technically have a right to do so, it may be the smart thing to do. If a parent is telling you that, I want you to learn in such and such a yeshiva, not in the other yeshiva, and you are all gung-ho and learning in the other yeshiva, and you think you're going to get so much more in the other yeshiva, but it may not pay. Maybe the parent, if the parent is happy that you're learning closer to home, so maybe they'll let you learn for another zman. Maybe they'll be happier in general. Maybe it'll be good for general shalom bayis issues. So there are a lot of other personal factors that go into weighing very, very delicate shiloh. So nobody should walk out of this shiur with any conclusions that you may want to have. And as I started off the shiur by saying, whatever you do to your parents is going to come back to haunt you in years to come. So anyway, we try to give at least some degree, some of the basic parameters in terms of this particular area's sensitive areas of kibra v'ev. There are a couple of questions about this.
Yeah, so you said that the Ramban says mitzvah yeshiva aretz is actually one of the 613. I'm saying like the Ramban and the Sefer Chinuch, do they also?
No, the Ramban happens not to count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, and the question is why not? There are different opinions why. Most Achorim assume the reason why the Ramban doesn't count it is it's assumed under some other mitzvah. The question is which one? That's already a good question. But most probably the Ramban held it was a mitzvah also, even though it wasn't counted
to form. So we're saying for the Ramban, we say it's a mitzvah just like depending on.
Yeah, it's probably a mitzvah.
What if you have something which you're allowed to do, but the parents won't pay for it, like
yeshiva,
or like something which they're against?
So then the parent doesn't have to pay for it. The parent does not mechuyif to support, to send the children off to yeshiva. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksuvos that a parent has to support a child until the age of 6. After the age of 6, then you're on your own. So the fact that your parents are paying you tuition now, they're doing a tremendous type, but they send you an NCSY call, that's their Gevaldik HaChesed that they're doing. Sometimes people get it all wrong, and you, not only before marriage, after marriage, people have this mixed up idea. A child comes at the age of 30, he's married with 5 kids, and he's demanding from his parents to continue to support him. If the parents want to support him, that's beautiful, maybe that's a beautiful thing, but to come with a demand, to come with a taina, a guy at the age of 18 doesn't have a taina, a guy at the age of 7, Avram Zevi has no taina. If I don't want to pay for his tuition, tough, let him play baseball all day, whatever, so I'm being a nice guy, I'm paying for his tuition, so he doesn't have a taina on me. I mean, the first mahalik, the maharik says that the basic mitzvah is to get married, and it's understood that the Torah wants you to marry the person you like. That's what the Gemara condition says. You're not supposed to marry someone who you don't like. So that's tantamount to telling the guy not to perform the mitzvah the way the Torah is presenting it. So it's a stretch of the Gemara, but that's what the maharik says. I don't think so. A father has an obligation to teach you an umdus that you shouldn't become a god of,
But if the father says, I insist you become a doctor, and I don't want to become a doctor, I want to become a lawyer. So Mehecha Teisei, that the father has a right to. So I think that's the classic example of the Maharik. If the parent is asking you to do things that don't really directly impact upon the father, there he's asking you to do things that are really in your realm, and it's somewhat of an unreasonable request. It means if a parent calls you to tell you to put on the sweater on a cold day, that's reasonable. So for the child to say, no, I'm not going to listen to my mother, what does she know? So that's called the lack of mora. But if a child says, listen, my father's very nice, I respect him greatly, I fear him greatly, but lamaisa, I don't want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. So that, how could you say that the guy's included to do that? Not only do I think you have to go, I think you're not allowed to go. I think to go to a mixed beach is an issa deraisa. I said, you learned about it in Sanhedrin. No, didn't you learn about the end of the eighth parak about Abizrael de Gileraya? So to go in those kinds of places, which are places of priests, you're not allowed to go. So how to explain that in a nice way to your parents? That's your job, not my job.
Funny how that works.
What?
Funny how that works.
Or get very, very dark classes. I don't know. Bring around an eitzah.
Maybe along the same lines, how would be the way to deal with if the environment in the house is difficult to live with? For example, cable TV or internet or non-news magazines.
So don't watch the cable TV, don't watch the internet, don't look at the non-news magazines. No, we live in a world. I mean, what are you going to do? Today, unless you're going to close yourself up and you're going to even, there is no place in the world today to close yourself up. And so that's the way it is. So you walk in the street today, also you have things flying in your face. Okay, there's Baruch Hu expects of us to try our best to be misgaber. So a person's in their own house, they can't, you say, excuse me, my parents have a TV, so therefore I'm not going to live in my house. So that's not right. So just don't watch TV. Try to be misgaber, not to watch TV. There was a story once about the Rav that there was someone doing something very silly. So the Rav said, that is Asa min HaTorah. So the person said, Rebbe, what's the Isser? So the Rav said, it is Asa min HaTorah to be stupid. So what's the Isser to be stupid? Bistama, that's part of the mitzvah of Vos Sidbach. We're supposed to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is very smart. He doesn't do silly things. So we're supposed to live our lives and do smart things. Let's say, like, when we run around taking pictures of bare feet and Meir Sharon or something, so that's, someone took a picture of my kid's feet, something. So that's silly. I'm not saying that's this and the rice, and that's just silly. So that's okay. That's a good spirit. That's silly. But if a person does, like, really, really silly things, like dangerous things, that for sure you're not allowed to do. So you don't need your parents to promise, even not that the parents promise. This is not going up in white tar, by the way. Wherever this going, it's going down. This is not. Yeah, it's usually okay because you have to take it to cheshbon like this. Let's say you have a good child, you know, a kid's not a rebellious kid. His parents really want him to stay close at home or a different issue, whatever it is. So the kid's going to go off the way he quote unquote thinks he's going to learn better. But he's going to be upset. He realizes he's upsetting his parents. So that also has to go into the cheshbon. So it'll turn out that he has this grandiose plan to go learn a better place, but he'll get upset, he'll get depressed, and then he'll learn even less than he would have in the first place. He won't be happy, his parents won't be happy. I would say in a lot of these kinds of cases that even though maybe mutter, you have to be very, very careful before you actually invoke this quote unquote anti. Okay, we'll take one or two more, and then we'll.
Let's say you put the mitzvah commentary and mitzvah together, where let's say the learning will be the same whether in America or in Eretz Yisrael, but you also have the mitzvah cumens of going to Eretz Yisrael.
Well, that's the question. Are you moving to Eretz Yisrael or just visiting Eretz Yisrael?
No, you want to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael.
So that's the question. Stam, is that considered to be a mitzvah in and of itself, just the visiting of Eretz Yisrael? So the Magen Avraham quotes a shayla about Tanuch HaShabbos. The Gemara is a din about traveling on Friday. The Bokal Mitzvah not, the Magen Avraham quotes a shayla. If a person wants to go visit Eretz Yisrael, is that considered to be like enough of a Bokal Mitzvah to be violate certain Yisurim in terms of Kovet Shabbos? So that would probably be the same shayla here also. Does that factor into the equation is according to those who say that living in Eretz Yisrael is definitely keeping up with that, include visiting also. That would probably depend on this, okay. But we're not even sure that living in Eretz Yisrael is definitely keeping up.
No, the learning is going to be the same in America.
No, so I'm saying, so if the learning is going to be the same, they don't have the heft of Talmud Torah. The only possible heft you have is Eretz Yisrael. So we're not even sure that living in Eretz Yisrael is definitely keeping up. Kavachom visiting is for sure not so possible. Okay, we'll take one more and then we'll.
Are there any achronim that
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. I don't think it's totally zebazeh. I mean, it happened to be that Ramosha happened to live in a chutzlar, but I don't think Ramosha was mushba for the fact that he was in the Lower East Side. Ramosha was such an Isha MS that he passed and he called them like he saw them. If he thought that that was the nature of the mitzvah, that's what he said. Okay. Good. Okay.
Yeah, but I like to have Moshe said that you don't ask the Nesim, sure. Ravadi said you did. Ravadi said you did, he did the Nesim.
I think I'm definitely going to be emailing.